Suppose you face an infinity, and you're not living on the rules set down by anyone. You must take the infinity and take it apart and look at it from every angle. Get inside of it. Get it inside you. Work with it. Understand its meaning. And then finally know who you are. And then anything in this world that says, by its activity, word of mouth, or appearance, that you are not what you have said you are, it is a lie.
And you don't have to take out your sword to do anything about it. The truth is the truth, and it requires no effort on your part to make it so. The claim never removes the fact that I am I. The claim never removes the fact that God is spirit and I am spirit. The claim never need be answered, and you dare not answer the claim because you're speaking to nothing. You're picking up your sword against nothing. No person would do that if they thought it were nothing. By picking up your sword, you're accepting it as something. And if it is something, then I am no longer infinite. And so you've got to work carefully with infinity until it's yours, until you can put it in the palm of your hand and say, I understand you now. I understand every facet of infinity. And in the next 10 days or 10 months, there'll be more of the facets of infinity that I will understand. And finally, by vigilance, by keeping my lamp lighted, by alertness, by watching, any claim that makes me finite will be rejected. And not only that, because I am infinite, I am all there is out there, and if that fellow over there wants to be finite, in my heart, I will not let him be. He's declaring that he is finite over there, but he is not there, I am. And therefore, in my heart, I know that I there am infinite self, no matter what he says. It is my responsibility to be what I am, no matter what anyone in this world may say. And so you are then beginning to feel the truth of your infinite self. Time has a way of playing pranks with us. And as we accept timelessness, we begin to play with that the same way. It's like taking a watch apart, looking at each little piece and then putting it back together. What is this time? How does it work? What is it? Where does it begin? Where does it end? What has it to do with my eternal self? Nothing. It's a teaspoonful of eternity dished out every day. And I look at that teaspoonful and I say, well, I am eternal. What have I got to do with a segment of time? Eternality is a nowness. It never stops being a nowness. It's eternal in that direction and in that direction. I am living 200 years ago. I am living 6 million years from now. I am living in eternality now. Nothing in this world that ever has happened to me is yesterday. Nothing that ever will happen is tomorrow. I am all now, now. Eternally. And then you find, because of it, I am the I in Jesus. I am the I in Buddha. I am the I in all those who allegedly walked the earth yesterday. They didn't walk it yesterday. There was no yesterday. It never happened. I is now. I is walking the earth now in Jesus and Buddha, right this moment. And I am that I. And Jesus is that I, and Buddha is that I, and children unborn are that I. And as this becomes my awareness, that I, which I am, can commune with the individuality of each individual, because each individual is the invisible I that I am. And you find yourself communing with those individuals when you're in I. And so you take time apart. And for you there is none. And now you don't have a mortal being on this earth. You depopulate the world of mortal beings. There are none. There never were. The mortal is the lie about the immortality and the allness of God, which I am. And you put each individual back into their I-ness. And in so doing, again, you enlarge your consciousness. Finally, you see you've got it working. And that's when grace appears. Grace is a beautiful thing because when you have let this rising Christ be lifted up, I, if I be lifted up, will lift all men unto me. And just this afternoon, discussing this with someone, it came to us that I, if I be lifted up, will lift all men unto me has a different meaning than we all suspected. We thought, I lifted up in me is going to raise that fellow over there, inspire him, give him a touch of the Christ. Well, it has quite a different meaning. I, if I be lifted up into the Christ consciousness, I take all those who are in my consciousness, in my world, into the new world that I'm going into. I see them as they are. I see the reality of them through the eye of the Father in me. Now we're turning the world upside down and inside out and discovering that we've all been living turned about the wrong way. Seeing things from a pinpoint out instead of from infinity in. And the single eye of God, which sees from infinity in, is the eye through which we are learning to look. Then our eye is single. Then our vision is no longer dual. Then serve we one master alone, I. Now do you see Jesus that way? Do you see that Jesus never looked out upon the world, but looked in? Do you see the great scope, the great vision? Do you see that looking in, you see reality? Looking out, you see the finite, limited view. Everything is dwarfed down to this finite vision when we look from in to the out. And a Jesus reborn of the Spirit shows us the way to look out from the outer into the within. But you are here to glorify the Father, to be perfect as your Father, to wear His garment of infinity, eternality, and immortality every day of your life. Now then, I am that individual who walks across the street. And that individual who walks across the street, his true identity is I. The I of him and the I of me, although they seem to be 500 yards apart at the moment, are one continuous self. And that continuous self circles the globe, circles the galaxies, circles the universes unknown. And that is the self that each form out here is. That is the self we accept as our self. That is the self we live out of until it rises in us and announces itself as our self. Until it says, this day have I begotten thee, meaning you are now Christed. You can now look from the great infinite into the kingdom within. Now when you start working with this, you're going to want to hit your head against the wall 10 times because you'll feel so frustrated. But don't let it bother you. You've got to go through that phase. And as you go through it, it isn't quite as long as it seems when you're doing it, because suddenly something happens. If the Father says to us, be perfect as I am, obviously you're going to be perfect as the Father, because you already in your true self are. So now you've got a mountain in front of you and you have to go and climb it. But you'll find invisible help. You'll find the mountain isn't quite as high as it seemed. just like when you get on a hill to climb it in your car. It seems so high until you have to do it every day, and then it really isn't anymore. All the hills are ironed out. The crooked places are made straight, the hills are flattened, the mountains are made into molehills or pushed into the ocean. And at first, looking in instead of out seems to be an almost impossible task. Because to look in, you must be an infinite self to look into. And then you're going to start mentalizing, now if I'm an infinite self, how does that feel? And you're going to try to expand your head out to the infinite, and it's going to hurt a bit. It won't stretch that far. Now when you go through these gyrations, if you do, remember that you're doing it the hard way. There is an I which already has done this, which is the way. And as you abide in I, you will discover that I will go before you and push that mountain into the sea. All you have to do is accept that which you are in spirit, reject that which appears to be you in your daily physical selfhood, and then you won't have to make any rubber band of your brain. You can just abide and watch the Father within build this new awareness for you. It takes shape, and in the twinkling of an eye, the reverse begins to show itself, just as it did for the disciples. And you find you've got a friend on the phone, but now there's an awareness in you saying, now let me see, he's not out there in Chicago, he's within my consciousness. And then although you can visualize it, you begin to think in these terms. Pretty soon you forget all about thinking about it. And then in some strange way, when you think not, there's a new feeling about him in your consciousness that no words can tell you about. It just steals right in. And you don't see him in your consciousness, you see him and you in your consciousness, and you are the overall consciousness looking at him and you. It just takes over. And then you know that a transformation of consciousness is really gripping you. Now, I know this is very strange. That's why it's taken us so long to even get to this point. And at the same time, we're at a point where very few people in this world are quite aware of it as we are thinking of it now. So we have no one to go to for guidelines. We have to do it within ourselves. And that's where the real joy is. You, yourself, are building your own universe. And if you're wise, you will know that the way to build your own universe is to turn it over to your true I. And then you will find grace. You will find the ascension taking place in you. Now this is a very, very new turnabout for all of us, I think. We may find some difficulties in the doing of it, a little lameness here and there, but it won't be long before we'll be sailing along with a newfound incentive. A newfound assurance, a confidence, a quietness, a strength. Because from this comes the awareness that the presence truly can never desert me. It is always where I am. Grace is always functioning. Peace is always here. Security is never where I am not. Always my supply is flowing from the invisible. This is the thing that begins to firmly established in consciousness into that deep peace. And that peace, you see, is substance. Substance which embodies all that the Spirit is. And from that substance flows the fulfillment of every need. That substance, that peace, that grace, that I, Spirit, forms itself as every need, and your human mind interprets those spiritual forms into the appearance of your own needs. That's how subtly it works. Right before you comes the spiritual form from the eye of your own being, and your human mind looks right at it and says, oh, food for the table. Well, it isn't food for the table at all. It's the invisible Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost. But to your human mind, it's food for the table. That's how intelligent the eye is. It can put before you that very substance which your mind will convert into food. And if the need were different, it will put a substance before you that your mind will convert into that need. If you're living in the eye. And before you ask, I shall answer. It is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom, that you may be perfect as your Father. And out of this, of course, you're spinning your true life, the eternal self. The only word I have now is don't memorize it. Don't declare it. But make a firm effort to live it. Just those three words. Immortality, eternality, infinity. And 10 minutes with each is a transforming experience. This is the third degree. Now, before we leave, try to see that I, being the undivided self, the only self, the infinite self, there can never be any other self in this universe than I. That was the key of Jesus' message. I and the Father are one. Be still and know that I am God, and I am one, and there is no other. Not no other God, no other life, no other person, no other being. And accept this as yours, and establish it before you go to sleep. Not when you wake up in the morning, but before you go to sleep. So that it's working while you're sleeping, so that you pick it up again when you wake up. Before you go to sleep tonight, establish that I am infinite, immortal, and eternal. You'll have a deeper sleep, a more refreshing sleep, and you'll need less sleep than you ever needed before. Because I actually needs no sleep whatsoever. And when you wake up, you'll discover this is right hanging there where you left it, to begin the new experience in I. And the next thing you know, during the day, you look at some of the trivia of this world with a great sense of amusement. And things that seem so vital will not be vital. They will hardly make contact with you. But the one major point is this. You will lose that I if you're seeing 10 or 20 or 30 people instead of one invisible I appearing as 10, 20, or 30 people. And that takes a conscious awareness until it's a natural thing. Because you can declare I all day long. But if your human eye is seeing 30 people and your consciousness is not making the correction, all your declaring of I is lost. You see, this I won't work by declaration. This must be the conscious experience of I. That's the third degree, the absolute experience. And you must experience the invisible I of those 30 people to have I. Deny it for the 30th because you don't like the shape of his ears, or the 29th because for some reason some things he or she does do not please you, and you are seeing person instead of I. Person is not there. I is there. And when only I is there, you will say to the adulteress, I do not condemn thee. You will say to the man on the cross, come into paradise. You will say, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do, because only I can be there. If you've got a person there, you are in mortality, finite time, finite space. You have lost yourself the minute you have put a person anywhere on this earth. Now that's the important part then. That's the fourth thing to practice, the three qualities of your I-ness plus the oneness of your I everywhere in spite of the individualities which seem to be expressive. And this takes work. But there's no more rewarding work in this universe. It's also a great assurance to practice the I that is always the only presence wherever you go, and to notice how differently you feel about your environment. For example, certain people in a room may be unfriendly to you or critical of you. Don't you see they're not there? I am. And the knowledge of this will enable you to approach even unfriendly, critical people with a smile, knowing that I am there and they are not. And that is the truth. Pilate, thou couldst have no power over me, for only I am here. I am where you are standing, Pilate, and I am where everyone is standing here who is crucifying a form. Only I stand here. That was the demonstration. Now the eye of you and the eye of Jesus are one and the same. That eye that did this, where Jesus stood, is the eye that you are now. And the I that functioned in every individual on this earth since the world began is the I that you are now. That I of you was there doing these things. Infinite, eternal, immortal. You have a lot of work on your hands, and I know you'll love every minute of it. Now, next week, now that we've got that started, we've got something a little difficult. Next week we have to go to the meaning of initiation, then the anointing, and finally the mystical marriage to complete the second. And then we start the trilogy in about 3 weeks. Next week is initiation. So we have an experience. And I thank you again very much.